So today we are talking about answering the question, what is postmodernism? So actually this essay is divided into four sections: sediment, realism, sublime and avant-garde, and postmodernism. So he begins by saying that we are living in a period where there is an urgency to stop experimentation in art. And he talks about different theorists. Firstly, he came across a historian who wants to stop realism and tries to bring a new subjectivity in his area. And Lyotard says that this is a period of slackening or loosening, or we are being forced to put an end to experimentation. For example, an art historian craves for a new subjectivity. An artist prefers trans-avant-gardism instead of paintings. That is, paintings are here nowadays, it is replaced by photographs, which gave a more realistic image. Then architects want to get rid of Bauhaus project. Bauhaus project means it calls on all Europeans to imagine and build together a sustainable and inclusive future that is beautiful for our eyes, minds and souls. So it's a bridge between the world of science and philosophy, technology, art and culture. And it's also a German artistic movement from 1919 to 1953, and its goal was to merge all artistic medium into one unified approach, that is Bauhaus project. So actually this says that nowadays we want to get rid of this Bauhaus project. And coming to trans-avant-gardism, it's an Italian version of neo-expressionism, and it aims at conceptual abstractions that is beyond avant-garde, and it's want to revive painting and want to reintroduce emotions. So each painting is unique in its own way. When you rely on photographs, it's a copy of copies. And this term, trans-avant-gardism, was coined by Achille Bonito Olivia. And again, Lyotard says that he read a philosopher who wants to spread a new religion, that is Judeo-Christianism. And he read the book Mild Plateaus. It's in a 1980 book written by Deleuze and Guattari. It's a French book meaning A Thousand Plateaus, Capitalism and Schizophrenia. And actually this book is an experimental work of philosophy, and they refer to as rhizomatic thought. That is, it's actually a concept in post-structuralism. It refers to the networks that establish connections between semiotic chains, that is organization of power and circumstances relative to the art, science and social struggles with no apparent order or coherency. Rhizo means purely a network of multiplications. They are not tree-like or arborescent, just a network of multiplication. So it's a type of thinking where knowledge ascends from a single stem and ends in a predetermined fruit. And again, Lyotard refers to a young philosopher of language who complained that continental thinking has surrendered to speaking machines, and he wants to restore a solid anchorage of language. He read a talented theatrologist for whom postmodernism carries very little weight in front of political authority, and also a thinker who defends modernity. So talking about these examples, he tries to clarify the idea that it's a period of slackening, that is they are against experimentation. So next he is talking about enlightenment. So in this postmodern world, there is an attempt to stop enlightenment. So according to Habermas, a fragmentation happens in this postmodern age, and that is one of the major faults because one believes in their own reality. So it differs from one another and it should be understood by a limited number of people. So those who are able to comprehend the ideas of modernity are considered as experts. Only a few are supposed to promote and understand modernity. So the remedial measure is we do not run behind the aesthetic values, but we should analyze the problem with the help of postmodernism. So Habermas stresses this point that we need unity to solve this fragmentation. But he, what does he actually mean by this unity? That was not clear. Then coming to Hegel, it's a common reality for all, or he wants to re-examine the ideals of postmodernism with the ideas of enlightenment as that of Kant. So here Lyotard is trying to ask whether both of these philosophies will bring the so-called unity by Habermas. Then coming to realism, so before that we'll quote some of the lines from the text. That is, Habermas thinks that if modernity has failed, it is in allowing the totality of life to be splintered into independent specialties. Splintered means fragmented. And he also considers that the remedy for this splintering of culture and its separation from life can only come from changing the status of aesthetic experience when it is no longer primarily expressed in judgment of taste. So in this postmodern era, we are not giving the unique value of aesthetic aesthetic experience. So it is put in relation with problems in existence, and it takes part in cognitive process and normative expectations. So what Habermas requires from the art and experiences is to bridge the gap between cognitive, ethical, political discourse, and he wants to open the way to a unity of experience. So coming to realism, there's a call for unity and order in postmodernism. Art and literature is moving far away from society, and there is a need to retain the values about in art and literature, and they will be able to maintain the order in the society. So he attacks avant-garde movement, which was based on modernism, and so artists and writers must be brought back into the bosom of community. So actually, avant-garde movement is experimental and radical, and mainly developed out of world wars. So in bourgeois society, the powers of capitalism, they created a pseudo reality. Their handicrafts were replaced by machines due to industrialization. So actually, it was a disaster because art lost its value and essence. So machines failed to reproduce the uniqueness and genuinity of art. So everything will be mechanical. So likewise, paintings were replaced by photography. And also literature was replaced by films. So all these things led to the loss of value of art, and it becomes robotic and mechanic, and it is actually pseudo-reality. So he says that it destabilizes realism. So the rules of art must change with the changing of time. So modern aesthetic question is what can be said to be art, and it shows the realistic definition of art. For example, horror film. You always watch a horror film on the background of a haunted house, but then murder scenes likewise. And he also says that art is kitsch. Kitsch means worthless. It is only concerned as a means to earn profit. So if society accepts it, everyone will accept it. Otherwise, not. And it's closely associated with the nihilism of Nietzsche. So then coming to sublime, it can be defined as a limit of reason and representation. For example, abstract feelings can be or not be objectified. Abstract art is modern art. It does not give a visual reality. So it relies more on shapes, forms and colors. And he blames avant-garde because the viewers failed to comprehend the sublime concepts. So in postmodern ideas, they are trying to define unpresent ideas. And again, he is in the position of a philosopher. Here we can never judge a postmodern work on the basis of a previous rules of aesthetic experience. So Lyotard oppresses totality and he accepts fragmentation. That is, they are trying to present the unpresentable. That is, fragmented reality should be accepted. So in realism, one point he is stressing that we must brought back the uniqueness of painting. that is, he says that here the writers must be brought back into the bosom of the community, artists and writers. Next point, he is stressing that photography did not appear as a challenge to painting from outside, but actually here the mechanical and industrial world should appear as substitute for handicraft, and the art loses its value because art isn't in its essence, it expresses the individuality of a person, of a genius, and it is assisted by an elite craftsmanship. Next point he stresses is, we can say photography and cinematographic process, it should be 1,000 times larger than a narrative or pictorial realism, and maybe you will consider it as superior to painting, but they are only give a visual effect. It is not unique in its own way. We can say they are fantasies of realism. To quote, modernity cannot exist without a shattering of belief and without discovery of the lack of reality, together with the invention of other realities. Lathert sees the Nietzsche's perspectivism in the Kantian theme of sublime. Because in postmodern art, they lack the quality of sublime. So according to Kant, sublime is a strong and equivocal emotion. It carries with it both pleasure and pain. So how art is created? You can simply say it exists if the thing is intelligibly perceivable, or there should be an experience behind it, or and that experience will correspond to its beauty. It creates its beauty, its uniqueness. To quote, knowledge exists if the statement is intelligible, if cases can be derived from the experience which corresponds to it. That is, beauty exists if a certain cases there means the work of art. And Lathert again explains that the sublime is an entirely different sentiment. That is, when the imagination fails to represent an objective reality, it should be represented in a higher level. That is, here the artist is trying to match with that sublime feeling. So he says that the modern artist is actually a little according the little technical expertise. That is, they are trying to present the unpresentable facts. That is, it is existing there. What we are not able to comprehend, or what we are not able to project in through our art and literature, the postmodernism is trying to project those aspects through the paintings or art or various type of literature. What which cannot be presented, those things are they are trying to present through their artwork. And Kant is using some words, that is, he names formlessness, which is no form, that is absence of form. Then abstraction, that means the imagination experiences. Then presentation of the infinite, it is also which cannot be represented through our drawing or paintings. And that is negative presentation. So when he is able to recognize all these in the avant-garde, that is, they devote themselves to make an allusion to the unpresentable by means of visible presentation. So coming to the last part, the postmodern, he says actually it is undoubtedly a part of the modern, and this state is constant. And we are also familiar with the writings of Virginia Woolf, James Joyce, Marcel Proust. This stream of consciousness technique, so they are trying to express the experiences, the ideas in their mind, the feelings in their mind, their thoughts they want to express. That is, trying to present the unpresentable. To quote Lathert, the postmodern is That is, they put forward the unpresentable in presentation itself. There is a postmodern artist or writer in the position of a philosopher. The text he writes or the work he produces, actually they are not in principle governed by pre-established rules, and they cannot be judged according to a determining judgment. And it would be judged by applying familiar categories to the text or to the work. So those rules and categories are what the work itself is looking for. And the artist and the writer are working without rules in order to formulate the rules of what will have been done. So they are presenting all these unpresentable facts through various allusions. And it cannot be judged by pre-established rules. So he concludes by saying that, let us wage a war on totality and let us be witnesses to the unpresentable, and let us activate the differences and save the honor of the name.